Praise the Lord. Well, if you have your Bibles, open them up to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Praise the Lord. How y'all doing? Pretty good. Dear Heavenly Father, as we now get into the Word, Father, we believe that the Word will get into us. Father, it's Christ in us that's the hope of glory. So, Father, the things I share today, may you anoint their ears to hear. May their carnal minds shut up and settle down so they can focus. And, Father, may the Holy Spirit be able to impart an understanding in them that will last forever. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, we've been talking about soul winning. We've been talking about winning souls on street witnessing and winning souls at home. In Matthew chapter 10, we brought out some difficult passages for a lot of people. They didn't understand them. Now, last week, a lot of people came up and said that really opened up their heart and their understanding to why these verses were stated the way they were. But we covered from, I think it was verse 32 on through to 42. And what we covered was the meaning of this particular passage. We brought out that there is what we call street witnessing and then witnessing or being a witness in your home. We brought out three things that seem to be the major issues with street witnessing. And one of them is fear of how people will react when we preach the gospel to them. A fear and how a person will react when we preach the gospel to them. And we're talking about people that we do not know. We're talking about people that we haven't developed a relationship with. The second thing is not knowing what to say or how to say it. Not knowing what to say to them or how to say it. Well, praise God, when we get through with this series, you're going to know the characteristics of responses in a way that it'll make it a lot more easier for you to even do street witnessing. The third thing is not knowing how to witness to somebody you don't know. These are the three major areas that people have difficulty in street witnessing. Now, we brought out last week at verse 32, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. We brought out Luke chapter 12, 8 through 10, that talks about these verses, and it says before angels and not the Father. I thought that was interesting. But let me share something with you. Most of the time when we looked at this, this put a fear in my heart, not knowing where Jesus was coming from. And I got under condemnation thinking I had to witness to everybody. And I got into trouble doing that. I got some bad responses. And sometimes bad responses can put a fear in you, especially with people. I'll never forget one night I was so excited about handing out tracts. Nobody ever taught me anything about witnessing. I had such a joy for the Lord. I felt that everybody would receive me quite well. And so our church went out street witnessing and we went to the Lincoln Bowl. And right away coming out of the auditorium, I decided that I do have a fear in me. I don't know how they're going to react. I didn't think of it before because I was so excited about doing it. So you know what I did? I decided to pick the nicest, sweetest looking couple on planet Earth to give a tract to. Because some of them hombres looked nasty. And so right away, the sweetest, sweet young couple came out, just laughing and holding hands. And he was in a suit. And I walked up to him and I said, God bless you. And he looked at me and they both looked at me and they started yelling at me. Don't you hand that tract to me. You get away from me. I know all about that garbage. And I'm sitting there. But you know, I found out the devil wanted me to be afraid. He didn't want me to preach the gospel that I loved. Anyway, we had a good time that night. There was a lot of people that were receptive. Praise God to the gospel. But these three areas got into me, a fear of how people will react, not knowing what to say or how, and not knowing how to witness to somebody I didn't know. And some of us have a hard time witnessing somebody we do know. Can I see a hand on it? Amen. Praise God. But anyway, what he is talking about in these two verses, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father. These verses are not predicated on Jesus taking a stand because you don't do anything. It's a position you put the Lord in through compromise. And if you find out in the text as we follow along, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foe will be those of his own household. First time I read these verses, I got to thinking, I don't understand that. My brain locked up. Because I understand that when you receive Jesus, he came to bring peace on earth and goodwill towards all men. Amen. But what I was finding out is that what he was referring to here is a position that you could possibly take in compromising with those of your own household. You could compromise with them because it says here, a man's foe will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. And he who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. And so what he's doing here is he's given us an introduction to non-compromise when we come into the kingdom of God. You cannot afford to compromise your stand with the Lord Jesus Christ. And those that are the closest to you can also be the ones that rebel the most. But the good news is, if you follow on, he who receives you receives me, and who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Now, what is he talking about? He's talking about when you stand firm in your position with Christ, even those in your own household or your loved ones around you, it has a reward to it. It has a reward to it because the prophet or the teacher in your life, the teacher that speaks into your life will cause you to become a righteous man, especially before those that are in your own household. You will be considered a righteous man. And I got news for you. A righteous man receives a reward. And the first reward you're going to receive is the results that you get from your own family because of your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you following what I'm saying? He goes on to say, and whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say, he shall by no means lose his reward. That is the results of a committed disciple. The word disciple means disciplined followers, one who is disciplined to follow the Lord. And our life is always full of the opportunity to compromise. Can anybody say amen to that? Our whole life is always in a position to compromise, especially those to whom are the closest to us, because we have to live around them. And they just don't go away like a street person does. You can get a reaction out of him and he'll leave. But our loved ones who are part of our own home, who are close to us in our work environment, we have to meet with them day in and day out. And sometimes you need a direct leading of the Lord for those that are the closest to you. You need a word from God and how to work with people. How many of you believe that? And if you don't have fellowship with the Lord on a consistent basis, you're not fellowshipping with him. You lose an interest in the kingdom of God. It's very, very difficult for you to win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. If somebody calls himself a soul winner, you'll find that his zeal for the Lord is consistent right along with his ability to witness to people. Praise God. I'll never forget E.W. Kenyon's son-in-law. I had an opportunity to go up there and I got all his books, E.W. Kenyon's books. This is years ago. And I asked E.W. Kenyon's son-in-law, I said, what was E.W. Kenyon like? And, you know, I asked him all those crazy questions, and he began to share with me how he was. And then we got into the conversation of witnessing or being a witness to the Lord. And he told me, he says, what I do is, he says, every year I set a couple of months aside. And what I do is I pray and I ask the Lord where I should go and who I should witness to. Now, this is street witnessing. This is not with people around you, but street witnessing. He felt an urge to do that. And so he would fast and pray. He would set that time aside. I forgot how many days a year he fasted and prayed before the Lord. And the Lord sent him directly to places you wouldn't think some people would go. And he said when he got to the place where he was sent, he would go to his hotel room, and the Lord would give him visions of whom to go to on the street. And I thought, wow, that's incredible. I said, So what happened? He says, well, for an example, he said this happened over and over again. He says many times I would be in prayer and I'd see like, he said one time I saw this couple on this boat. It was like a ferry there in Russia. And he said, I knew that I had to get on that ferry and look for these two people. And so sure enough, he went down and got on this ferry. And as he was traveling on this ferry, wherever, he didn't say where it was going or where it was at or anything, but he noticed the very two people he saw in this vision, he saw them on the boat. And he went up to them and he started witnessing to them, and they were open and receptive, and they received the Lord Jesus right there on the boat. Isn't that incredible? And he said sometimes the gifts of the Spirit would operate. He'd get a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge. Gifts of healing would operate. But did you know in Matthew chapter 10, it's very interesting, when Jesus commissioned his 12 disciples to go out, did you notice that what he asked them to do? He asked them to heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. He commissioned them to do that. He put that anointing upon him, and he commissioned to go out and do that. Now, something is very interesting that I want to share with you today, that I never seen this before, but did you know that he said, Jesus, to his 12 disciples, talk about street witnessing here for a little bit, the first commission that Jesus gave them was to go to the house of Israel. He said, you do not go to the Gentiles, nor to the Samaritans, but go directly to the household of Israel. He said, that's where I want you to witness. I want you to send that to them. And I asked the Lord, I said, why in the world did you tell them not to go to the Gentiles? And all? He said, because my Father's first commitment was to his own household. That was his first plan of commitment. And that makes sense, because as we're reading on here, it says they that will be your worst enemies would be they of your own household. But if you do not compromise your witness to the people will respect you as a righteous man who's received the word of a prophet. And therefore you become a righteous man, you have your reward, and then also you have the reward of being obedient to being the disciple God called you to be. I'm talking about witnessing to people. So the first area that Jesus told me was the example of his Father, was the first provision for salvation was his Father's own household, which is the nation of Israel. He said, you go to them first as an example to your own household. Now, I thank God for my mentors. I thank God that I was careful to hear who I was supposed to listen to in teaching. God has always led me that way. My own wife is my witness that I would not listen to just anybody. There were certain people I would witness to and I loved them and I was excited over their life, but they weren't my mentors. They were examples to me in their faith, but they weren't my mentors. I only had certain people that were my mentors. And one of them was Kenneth Hagin. But I enjoyed, but some of you might remember, I talked with some of you in my own congregation. I love listening to R.W. Shambach. Isn't he cool? I mean, that guy, when you listen to him preach, Sue and I remember turning the radio on and his hour of power, and man, he'd go to preaching, and man, Sue and I'd get so excited. But God told me he's not going to be your mentor. Kenyon's going to be your mentor. Or not Kenyon. Well, Kenyon was one of my mentors, but he said Kenneth Hagin is going to be your mentor. You listen to him. And the first thing that Kenneth Hagin taught me was that if you're going to reach the world for the lost, you've got to do it to your own family first. Ouch. And one thing that he said, I told the Lord, in his voice, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, if you're going to have me go and preach, you're going to make sure that my family's provided for because they are my first interest. Lord said, deal. And you know, he has this cassette tape. I love it. How God communicates with man. I still got that tape, and every once in a while I'll pull it out and I'll listen to that thing again because he's my teacher. And he had learned more about the voice of God through providing for his family in ministry than any other the area. Yeah, I listened to the tape today. And he'd sit and argue with the Lord. He said, Lord, you're telling me to go to this church over here. And really, I think I should go to this church over here. But you're telling me to go that way. That church don't even give tithes or offering. And that church over there, man, they always bless me every time I go. And Father, you know what I have need of to provide for my family. Why are you telling me to go to that one when I should be going over to that one in the natural? Well, he said a lot of times he didn't feel bad about going to the church that he felt would bless him and support him and enjoy his ministry and receive from his gift. But instead, God was instructing him to do a little old church that were scroungy and stingy and everything else. And he'd say, okay, Lord. He said, but here's what my family has need of. And he'd lay out a list of what his family had. And he says, now, Lord, this is what you're going to provide for my family. Put his faith out there. And so he'd go, and sure enough, he found out he was wrong. Jesus was right. You know something? You need to learn this lesson. Whenever God gives you specific instructions to do something, you don't compromise. You do what God tells you to do, regardless of what the situation is around you. And so he went to that church. Sure enough, the church didn't bless him, but somebody in the church did. Gave him exactly what he needed for his provision. And then he ended up going to the other church and getting blessed too. Now you follow what I'm saying? But he cared for his family. And now listen, not only the support of your family, but the witness that you have of the Lord Jesus Christ to your family. You've got to be firm in your witness to the Lord. And your children are important to the Lord, and your example to your children are important to the Lord. My wife can tell you, one thing that I always want to be in my home is the example of what I am on the platform. A man of God. And not a compromiser. When I grew up in church with Sue, because I got saved when I was young, and as I was growing up in church, I was a very insistent person on where my family fellowshipped, where I fellowshipped, and what I was receiving from the kingdom of God. You see, because I knew that I had not only my immediate family to care for, but I had relatives. Anybody of you know what relatives mean? It means people connected to your family. And I know that I have them in my example. And boy, you know, as I moved on in the things of God, I suffered because I compromised the gospel. But I'll tell you what, God jerked the slats out for me and got me right back to where he wanted me to be. Because my family came first. As a matter of fact, did you know that the call of ministry comes through your family? Because Paul told Timothy, this is how you select workers in the church to do the work of the ministry. It's all family related. They're, you know, don't have a deacon that's got several women on the hook. Make sure they got one wife. Are you following what I'm saying? Make sure that they know how to take care of the house of God before they can go and take care of the church of God. You know, we have to be those kind of examples. And one thing I told my wife and my children, they're witness here, I told them that I would always provide for them. I always want them to feel comfortable that the gospel would not bring them to poverty. I've seen women not wanting their husband to go into the ministry simply because they had a fear that the ministry would not provide for their family. I got news for you. The first, 10 or 11 years, I worked a full-time job and was ministering because that little family there had to have their care taken care of the same as my desire for the gospel. Yeah, I always shudder when people come up and say, well, bless God, God told me to quit working. Well, go right ahead. You know what I tell them? Nothing. You want to know why? They'll learn. They'll learn. And I got scripture on that. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? And here's another one just a little further. Oh me. But if anyone does not provide for his own and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Ministry, doing ministry is the same equal to your faith as providing for your home. Because when your family is provided for, ministry is a whole lot easier. Are you following me? And so God has always blessed me that way. I have not liked the position that I was in because for 11 years I had to work full-time ministry and also work a full-time job. But that spirit is gone somewhere. Oh, that's just too hard. I want to be paid for everything. Well, I could have gotten an attitude with Jesus and said, Jesus, these weekends that I'm out doing the work of the ministry, you owe me money. Because I could be home watching these favorite flicks on TV that I like and being with my family, you know. And I got to go out and preach the gospel someplace. Sue knows of the long drives at night I took. Sometimes for hours driving. Just go preach the gospel someplace. But I had a desire in my heart to ministry, but I had a desire in my heart for my family to be taken care of. Amen. And Sue's my witness. Did you ever feel that you wouldn't be provided for? And she has a love for the ministry because the ministry has always done her right because her husband had a brain in his head. Are you following what I'm saying? I've seen people that do things that are so stupid, but they don't realize that every day is the day of witnessing to your loved ones, your family, your relatives, your friends. God, listen, God wants you at peace, but the devil don't take vacations. You always got to be there for your family when they're in a crisis and you have a word for them. Are you following me? So they'll have peace. My daughter was concerned about her college and being rejected. And the Lord spoke to me in my heart. Just spoke to me and said, Lindsay, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. You're going to be blessed. Well, that makes me feel good that I can give a word to my family and they would receive it because they would trust in that. Amen. And sure enough, she did get a good letter, didn't you, Lindsay? Where you at? Are you here? Yeah, you did get a good letter of acceptance. And I said, listen, they can put the rules down, but when God speaks, it'll work. It'll work. I told Lindsay, I said, well, Lindsay, is your faith only out of convenience? I'll have faith providing everything's going my way. Sometimes your faith is in an inconvenient place. But you got to remain firm anyway. Amen. Because the gospel brings a hundredfold return back to your life if you give it a chance. And you know something? Always walk in peace with people. I had to learn that the hard way being in ministry. 5 years ago, I had to come to myself. Just 5 years ago, I had to come to myself to be at peace with all men. I'm not accountable for how some people walk before Jesus. I'm only accountable what I give you for your soul. I'm commissioned to watch over your soul and make sure you get the right information because when you stand before Jesus, you're not going to point your back and say, well, he never taught me that. I'm going to make sure that I teach you what's right from what's wrong so that when I stand before the Lord, I know the fruit was real bad, God, but, you know, I'm a perfect teacher. What can I expect, you know? But notice he said he went to his own tribe, his own household, his own. Why? Because the Lord wanted to make sure that the nation of Israel had the first shot for the gospel. Today, some of the books that are written about us and how we've abused and treated and all the things that are happening to Israel is because how the United States did. They got a book out called the Best Kept Secret. It's an abomination to God because that nation is not blessed. That nation's hurting because it rejected the Messiah. But thank God one day the Messiah will come. And all of Israel will come into the full fold. Are you following what I'm saying? But that nation's cursed, people. You can't get more cursed than that. They got to protect every square inch of what God gave them to begin with from their own what? Their own kin that was born out of flesh. Hagar. And they got to defend. Me and John, when we were there, never before in a nation that I've seen where you get up in the morning and you pack an AK-47 to your job and then back home. Blessing? I think not. Holocaust. We were looking in the Holocaust hall there, John and I, and we were looking at all these pictures and they just grieved you to your heart. And God just spoke to me and said, they went through that because of rejecting their Messiah, whom God went to first. When a man doesn't know how to evangelize his own home first, he will get the results of everything he touches in the home. Deaths. He could lose his wife. He could lose his children to the gospel. He could lose everything. And not even bat an eye because he's so self-centered to realize how precious it is to have your loved ones come into the fold and walk with you in the kingdom of God. Amen. It's a precious thing. And it's not one that God takes lightly. He holds us responsible for our loved ones and how we treat them. And I don't want to deny my family for the position the Lord Jesus is in the third heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father. I don't want to deny my family that thing. I want them to know what I stand for. Sometimes friends and relatives are the most difficult people on earth to witness to. But I'll tell you, there is a place in your witnessing that they cannot deny, and it's your actions. The way you walk, the way you talk, and the way you speak. That will speak volumes if you can't preach to them. You guys getting something here? You're awful quiet. Your heart goes out to people because they become an enemy of the cross. And we only think that those are enemy of the cross. We only think those are enemy of the cross that are unbelievers. Turn over to Philippians. We're going to find out that is not true. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And then go to verse 17. Brethren, join in following my example. And note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Therefore, my beloved, long for the brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. Verse 1 of chapter 4 should have been the last verse of chapter 3. And what is he saying here? He's saying the witness of a believer who had turned back to his life on earth for the appetites of his own flesh. He has turned then the cross to be an enemy through the witness of his own walk before his own loved ones, his church, whatever it is. We must be careful how we walk. If we're going to say that we're on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ, our walk and our talk and the things we do has got to be the same. Now, I'm not talking about picking up a religious spirit where everybody that comes into your realm, especially those of your loved ones, I'm talking about not sitting there saying, well, you said the wrong thing to me. I'm a man of God, you know. You don't talk around me like that. That's not what I'm talking about. That's weirdness. I'm talking about you being able to rub elbows with your sons and daughters and even the ones you work with on the job, rubbing elbows and understanding where they're at. And not being conformed to what they do, but accepting them where they're at and building a relationship with them to the point that you can. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm not talking about being a religious weird nut. That's the way my brother Timmy would do. He'd get back into fellowship with God, and right when he'd get back in fellowship with God, I knew I was doom and gloom again. He'd start sewing patches on his arm. Heaven or hell! And he'd show these fingers going like this, and down here is crackling fire, and up here is the throne of God, you know. And when he broke fellowship and I'd go to see him, he's sweet as he can be. Always under condemnation. Always feeling bad. And I said, well, don't feel bad, Tim. You know, God's with us and trying to encourage him. But when he got back in fellowship with God, uh-oh. I go over his house. Hi, Tim. How you doing? Oh, I'm sick of these Christians that don't obey God and walk sin-free. Uh-oh. I'm telling you, if they don't change their ways, the blood will be up to the bridle of the horses. He's better off to break fellowship with God. He had a better witness. He just didn't know how to balance his life. Are you following? He didn't know how to balance. He's black or white. Remember that? He had an anointing of a prophet on him. If he would just surrender in humility to God and let God work in his heart. He had the ministry of a prophet. He saw this building in detail. Remember that, Sue? He said, Jan, he said, it was like a warehouse. It was the style of a warehouse. And I said, a warehouse? He said, yeah, it was I can't describe it. And it was kind of, I don't know, kind of a sandy color or something. And I went, And you know what? I didn't even remember that until after we built this building and I drove up one day. I looked at the building. He saw that. And Tim said, I walked into the building and he said, you and Sue were on one side of the church and I was on the other. And you picked up this basket and it was shaped just like a human. And the whole building was full of these baskets that were shaped like people. And he said, the baskets were made out of straw. And you threw me one of the baskets and you and Sue said, join me in the gospel. Well, that was this ministry. Are you following what I'm saying? And he died before his time. Died 44 years old. 94. And yet that man, he told us things that was phenomenal. He told us about Watergate, and he said, I saw the president in the bars, and he was unshaven. It was like they were trying to get to him. We looked at Tim and said, Tim, what are you talking about? I said, that's crazy. But you know what he did see? And it hasn't come to pass, but I believe it will. He said, one thing is I was suspended above Tacoma. And he says, as I was suspended, I looked down and revival hit all the churches. There was a move of God that was incredible. I'm waiting for that one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He could interpret dreams. It was incredible. It was incredible. And yet, there was something in his thinking that never brought him into a real stable place with God in his life to where he could be a good witness. How can you be a prophet for a nation when you can't even be a prophet to your own home? You can't. That's why being an example to your own family and your own loved ones and your relatives is more important than any street witnessing you can do. My oldest son, Mike, miss him, but I know where he is. But Mikey, I didn't agree with a lot of things that I was vehemently against, but I stood my ground. But when Mikey was around, I developed a relationship with him. I went with him places. We shot black powder rifles together. I made him one. We did things together. I didn't agree with it, but when he sat and asked me questions, we could fellowship about the things of the Lord. His real dad came to me and said, "Mikey, always respected you and always loved you. Never had one bad thing to say about you." Could have died and gone to heaven. But he's there. Sue went to him. Saul, it is so important how you are with your family and your loved ones. You cannot compromise. Your reward is too great for you to stand firm in your belief. Don't let your family cause you to compromise. Stand firm on your belief. Stand firm on your belief. Well, the reward is great. My children have blessed me so much. My son, I'm so proud of him. Can't even tell you how proud I am. Every time I get with him now, he's always telling me about the things of God. And I just said to myself yesterday when we were running around together buying black powder to blow everything up with. Smokeless powder, I mean. Every other thing was out of his mouth. The Lord's telling me this and the Lord's telling me that. And boy, I was sitting there and the Lord just said, "There's your reward. There's your reward." You want your kids on fire. You don't want them in bars. You don't want them in these casino places. You want them in the house of God. What a reward. Amen. And he's my friend. Little Lindsay's my friend. She's come in the house and she can sit and talk to me about the gospel. And I love it. She just comes in every once in a while. And boy, if I said or did anything wrong, contrary to the gospel, she's right there with her hands on her hip. Proud of her. Proud of the man she's running around with, Aaron. Because he loves the Lord. He comes into my room and wherever I'm at, and he'll sit there and first thing comes out of his mouth. And you could just feel it in the atmosphere. He wants to ask me things about the Lord. He wants to talk about the things of the Lord. That's a good man to hook up to. Are you following what I'm saying? Boy, your family, you are a blessed man when your family walks upright in the things of God. And if your family doesn't walk upright in the things of God, look at your testimony. Don't go blaming somebody else. Don't go blaming the church. Go blaming yourself where your walk is. Because you're the one that sets the example for your children as you walk in the things of God. Thank God for the grace of God. Because we're not all perfect. I've been a perfect pastor. But I tell you what, when I make mistakes, you get before the Lord, you get on your knees, and you say, "Jesus, help me for being the wrong example that I have been." And make it straight in your heart, because blessed are those who not only hear the word, but do it. And boy, the closer you get with God, the less options you have. You let things come out of your mouth, and if it's not of God, it'll come back to haunt you. It'll always come back to haunt you. It's come back to haunt me. how I treated the last church I was at. It came back to haunt me. I was out in prayer one day and it just seemed like a thick, huge steel plate was over my whole life. And my prayers were hitting that stake, that steel plate. And I said, Lord, what is wrong? And he says, well, he says, it's time to do some purging in your life. You know, I'm convinced a lot of Christians don't like prayer because they get to the purging part. And I said, well, what have I done wrong? I'm in prayer. I love you. You know, the closer you get with God, the more holy you become in your thinking, in your mouth, and everything. And I said, God, why? I forgot how many years ago, but I said, well, what? Well, God, isn't it funny how we have to inform Him? What is your problem? He says, well, he says, you gossiped about Casey and you said some things. I want you to call him, tell him you're sorry. I haven't been to that church in years. Why do I have to do that? He says, because I want you to. I want you to make it right. So I called him. Got right through. Casey. Yeah, Butler, what do you want? I said, Casey, I called to tell you that I was in prayer and the Lord told me that He can't receive any more of my prayers until I get it right with you. Casey goes, oh yeah, I know. I already know what you all said. You already know what I said? Yeah, he says, it got back to me, brother. He says, you know there are birds that fly around? Oh. Birds that fly around. Birds that fly around. I said, well, whatever crow brought you that, I want you to know I'm sorry and I want you to forgive me. He said, I forgive you, brother. Next day, somebody comes to my office, brought me one of his Bibles, and in there, yeah, I still got it, his signature. I know you love me, Casey. So you learn how to be a better witness as you grow in the Lord. You become a better witness to your family, you become a better witness to your loved ones. And every one of you have a wonderful testimony. And I told the Lord, that's the thing I want to remember the most, is the wonderful testimonies about people, not their downside. Because that's all that's going to last in eternity anyway. Amen. Yes, it's important how you witness to the kingdom of God. Very important. Now, I want to share something with you. One of the primary purposes for me teaching you is to help you identify the characteristics of each of the unchurched group that I have been reading in this one book, Reaching the Unchurched. And I'm even adding some things to what the book has put down there through my own little study and seeking. But we're going to go to all five levels of the unchurched people. And we're going to learn some wonderful characteristics about them. And here's why. Because if you are to witness to the people on the street, and you're to witness to your loved ones in a home, it helps to identify how the characteristics of the response to the gospel got into their life. Can you guys agree with me? It is important that you understand them because they will help you. The one that is the most I thought was very interesting was the responses of the unchurched in level one. Do you know what their major reason why they're not in church? The major reason why they're not in church, out of about five reasons, the major reason was not the hypocrites in the church, but the major one today is they're too busy. Their life is too full. It's 50% of the reason why they're not in church. We are living in a world that only knows how to make money and not put a Sabbath in their heart for church. You know what the second most vulnerable thing was? The second one was bad church experiences. You know, that is demonic. That is almost like saying, do everything you can to evangelize him and bring him in the church so we can rip him right out of the church. It's been church experiences that have been bad. You've seen that same book, Hal and Tish, because we're working on putting together a good program for when our church does explode and these seats get filled in. Was bad church experiences. Do you know that there are myriads and myriads of Christians cocooning and not interested in going to church because of bad church experiences? And you know what the third one was? Laziness. Oh, I don't relate to that ever. Yeah, as if I've been a pastor my whole life. I had to be a disciple, not pastor. It's Sunday morning. I don't want to go and listen to him again. Oh, no. And I would look for an excuse to stay home. So we can't go to church today. Why? I have to clip the tulips in your vase. I can't go to church today. Why? I got a hangnail right here. None of you have ever been there, just me. Well, what if they ask why you're not there? Tell them I'm sick. Liar. I respect the guy. Why wasn't he at church? You wouldn't believe what I've been through. What have you been through? It's just too difficult to go into. I can't tell you. Because they don't want to lie to you, you know. I can't tell you. Anyway, I respect more of a guy telling me, I just didn't want to go. I'll take that. But get a hold of that flesh. You kick flesh back from church, it'll talk you out of every church meeting you can. Why? You have to sit this to the pastor for 45 minutes. Your flesh don't like it. Remember the body of flesh? I was sharing that with some ministers that I didn't even see that. That was why I had to go and minister to Dave on Romans 7. I finally got that full revelation of what that's all. Your flesh is your worst enemy than the devil himself. Because he has a desire against the kingdom of God. He is the unjust judge. He'll wake every morning you wake up after you've been down the road of experience, especially holiness. Oh, put your flesh into holiness. Oh, chukulaka, bo. Your flesh, when you get him into holiness, he's going to remember all the unholiness that he was permitted to do, and now he can't do it. Somebody said, why am I plagued with all the old habits I used to have? It's because you denied him. When you deny the nature of flesh, guess what? That creates sin in your life. Or should I say the awareness of it? Did you guys get something here this morning? Your family is your first line of defense for witnessing. Stand up, everybody. Yeah, we'll do it. We are going to do communion in just a minute. But I want you to stand up. And I want us to bow our heads reverently before the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, you put it on my heart what to say and share with your wonderful people because you love them so much. And Father, as we stand in your presence right now, more than anything else, Father, we want just a moment with you to look over the example we have been in the past. And we want to make, and listen, people, this morning, just make one adjustment. One correction that you know you have not been a good example of. Make one adjustment, one correction this morning. And put it under the communion table, the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Put it under that communion element right now, this morning. And I'll tell you what, just making one little change, you are going to bless your friends, your loved ones, your family, your children. Just one little change and they'll see it, no matter what. You cannot compromise your gospel or you'll send even your children to hell and not realize that you're the standard for their spirituality if they're not in the house of God the way they should be. You have got to make a decision not to compromise your walk in Jesus, for you have your whole family, your loved ones, and your friends at stake. Don't leave this building without getting anything that you would compromise that would be horrible before your family and your loved ones and even the people you work with. Deal with that. Get it under the blood, and you will become a dynamo for the kingdom of God. Your reward will be great. So with every head bowed, let's have a moment of silence and commit just one little thing. Don't go be one of those stupid guys that go and commit, he's going to be my Lord and I'm going to commit everything. Because everything at once is too much of a blot. Just pick one important thing and work on it this year. So with your head bowed, think on it. Yes, Lord. Okay, with that said, if there's anybody here that has never received Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life, you've never done that, at the end of the service, we're going to have you come forward and we're going to pray for you. If you need physical healing, mental healing, whatever it is, I would like you to put it under the communion table, the blood of the Lamb, the shed blood in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can do it. Physical healing, those are redemptive rights. They belong to you. Hallelujah. If you've never been baptized with the Holy Spirit, I want you to come up after the service and we're going to pray for you. But if you know that your redemptive rights come through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and His body that was given to you. I always want to say the word broken, and I found out it's not even in the word. His body was not broken. Our translators put broken in there, but it's not. Now, there wasn't a bone broken in His body. Nothing was broken. But He gave His physical being for the sake of ours. Praise God. And so today, if you, at the end of the service, I only want those that want to be filled with the Holy Ghost and those that want to come into the kingdom of God. The rest of you put it under the blood, whatever it is. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now I got a word from the Lord for somebody in the congregation. Do not allow your mind to think things you have no proof of. For you are being tormented by the feeling of rejection. And you are not being rejected. It is the enemy playing with your thinking. Do not feel rejected. Feel accepted in the Beloved. Do not allow your mind to travel on thoughts that you have no concrete background for them at all. That is the work of the enemy. That is the body, the voice of the body of flesh. Put it down, saith the Lord. Put it down. You are being tormented and being driven from your own church people because of it, and it is not necessary for you to even be there, saith the Lord. Do not allow the enemy to cause you to be unfruitful in your walk with your brother, says the Lord. So whoever fit that, several could. Okay, with that said in mind, the rest of you, you're dismissed. You can go. Those of you that want salvation or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, feel free to come up.